Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. A little bit later this hour, Kayla Anderson, sports reporter with News 2, WKRN-TV here in Nashville. Also in studio with us from 5 to 6:30, Alan Bell, managing editor for NFL coverage for 247sports.com. But right now, going to the hotline, chance check in with our good buddy Wes Durham, friend to Nashville, voice of the Atlanta Falcons, along with being the voice of the ACC Network as well. Wes, we appreciate you as always. Hope your 2018 is off to a good start, other than Atlanta losing last week. But other than that, we hope that 18 has been kind to you so far.
Thanks, Johnny. Good to be with you.
Hey, what was last weekend like for you?
Oh, it was, frustrating, I'm sure, at the end was probably the best way to describe it. I think this team did some really good things. I think getting back to the playoffs after a 4-4 start and finishing 6-2 down the stretch was pretty good. I think that the defense has continued to build. It's the first time in Matt Ryan's years he's a top 10 defense to work with the Falcons. But at the same time, they didn't get the job. But Atlanta had opportunities last week.
You know, it's one of these things when we look at Atlanta's offense, they moved the ball this year, but there was certainly a drastic difference in points scoring as far as this year compared to last year. What do you think one of the main problems was, the fact that, from the standpoint that Atlanta couldn't score this year?
Well, I think the expectation from what happened a year ago was probably really high, maybe too high, Johnny, to be honest. I mean, I was reminded last week by a national guy going into the ball game in Philadelphia when, I was talking about the offense and some of the red zone inequities and things like that. He said, "Hey, Wes, you remember now, if Atlanta had scored this year like they did last year, it'd be two of the top five scoring offenses in NFL history."
Good point.
And I said, "Well, yeah." And he goes, "Well, that doesn't happen in the league. The league's not built that way." And I said, "Okay." But, the other thing, too, is that everybody wants to look at the change from Kyle Shanahan to Steve Sarkisian. And I guess that's fair, but at the same time, too, and as you know this, living in Nashville as long as you have and watching the Titans evolve, no 2 years are the same in the NFL with the team. I mean, there's free agency, there's drafts, there's, whatever the case might be. And certainly Atlanta was afflicted a little bit by that. But this is – and I said this, late in the regular season before they clinched the playoff spot. I said – no matter how this season ends, unless it's a Super Bowl visit again, a lot of people are going to stand around with their hands on their hips and go, "Man, that just didn't happen at all like we thought." And I think that there's a little bit of that going on here now. And, 2 months from now, we'll see, kind of what the hubbub is. But I think there's still a pretty good football team and a chance to maybe do some things next fall for sure.
It's interesting when we talk about whether Atlanta this year coming off the Super Bowl run last season, or say Alabama, you mentioned Steve Sarkisian, of course. He fills in when Lane Kiffin leaves prematurely, and so is Steve Sarkisian calling the plays. Nobody would be arguing about Steve's play calling if Alabama had held on and a few extra seconds had ticked off before Clemson could have scored that winning touchdown at the end of 2016. Is there plenty of blame to go around, or is it just, as you pointed out, one of these things, it's going to be tough to duplicate what Atlanta did in 2016?
I thought it was going to be tough to duplicate because I thought the division was going to be better. In fact, it was.
Right.
Three teams from this division went to the playoffs. I think that it was going to be hard to duplicate, too, because you were playing a difficult schedule. I mean, you were playing a number one schedule. And so – right out of the gate. Now you put yourself in a bad spot by losing to teams like the Dolphins and the Bills. Now, Buffalo went on and squeezed into the playoffs, but still you had home games there that, you could have captured and finished 12-4 hypothetically. The other thing, too, I think that probably frustrates people, Johnny, and this is with a lot of teams, is that Atlanta just didn't play as cleanly as people thought they would. I mean, Matt Ryan had 12 interceptions. The fact that 7 of them were drops or deflections, doesn't come into the discussion, but that's what happened. Atlanta was, they had a hard time catching the ball. They were one of the top 5 teams in drops in the NFL. So, look, I think it's sometimes it's one of those things where you just got to say, "Hey, wait, this is what happened," and move from it and learn from it. And I think this organization will do that because I think the coaching staff is pretty solid. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, look, this division is going nowhere. It's it's going to stay like this for a while. New Orleans has certainly figured it out. Carolina, even though with the changing coordinators to North Turner, they're only going to get better on that side of the ball, in my opinion, with his experience. And I think Atlanta will still be there. The question will be, can Tampa get there? And I think now the reality of it is this was the best division in the league last year, and it's probably going to be the best division in the league next year too.
You know, I know you keep up with the entire NFL, and I know you have an eye on what's happening here in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans.
Sure.
And after the Titans beat Kansas City in that first playoff game in the wild card weekend, you know, especially on the national landscape, everybody was talking about how that's just not acceptable for Kansas City to lose to mm-hmm. such a lousy team as the Tennessee Titans. First of all, if you make the playoffs, there's 20 other teams wish they were in your position. But I could see in some aspects the point, because the fact that when you look at the Titans as a team and you even look at the wins, the fact that this team, you know, from start to finish, really not impressive in any particular game as far as being able to put together a complete game. I mean, the fact that, yeah, they beat Cleveland, but they had to do that even in overtime with four field goals. And I think because of that, the fact that, you know, there's just certain weekends you're a better team and you should show it on the field, but week in and week out, it seemed like even in those wins, the Titans had to fight to be able to pull it off in the end.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things about the league that sometimes gets overlooked by people who, you know, maybe follow a particular team, okay? I think it's hard to win. In fact, I had Mike Smith, the former Falcons coach, told me about five years ago. He said the one thing that people don't really grasp sometimes is how hard it is to win, you know, just to win the game on Sunday. Because it typically comes down to, you know, half dozen snaps or less and that kind of thing. So I think that the Titans, you know, I had a hard time with the AFC this year, Johnny, personally, because I saw three teams that were making a move. I mean, New England's an obvious, certainly Pittsburgh was there. But then I gave a lot of respect to what Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell and Tom Coughlin did in Jacksonville. I really did. I think that was a franchise that was in total chaos a couple of years ago, and now they kind of righted the ship a little bit. And I thought Dave Caldwell has drafted some really good players. There was just an element of some sort of completion there, and Coughlin and Marrone may have been the missing pieces, if that makes sense. And I think Jacksonville has still got some issues they've got to resolve. And I think a couple of them are on offense, to be honest with you. And one of them may be quarterback before all is said and done. But that being said, I think any team, like you said, that gets to the playoffs is probably pretty good. And at the end of the day, teams that get to the playoffs, you know, deserve a degree of respect. The Kansas City thing is befuddling, though. I mean, everybody has to agree with that. I mean, a team that's had the kind of success they've had during the regular season and can't seem to find their way, you know, back into at least a second or third stage of the playoffs, it's certainly confusing for sure.
Blake Bortles, you know, you talk about the quarterback situation with Jacksonville. I mean, first of all, back during the summer, I don't think anybody had faith in Blake Bortles being able to lead that offense. But at one point in the month of December, the first 3 weeks of December, we're talking about the best quarterback in the entire NFL was Blake Bortles. And then last week, I don't think if Blake Bortles didn't do what he did, that magic, the fact kept answering what Pittsburgh was trying to do as they kept trying to catch up with Jacksonville, it would have been Pittsburgh playing this weekend and not Jacksonville. So Blake Bortles is still a mystery to me.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of growth that's got to occur there. And I think some of it is probably taking shape this year, but there's got to be more of it. And maybe it involves him and maybe it doesn't, you know. And I think that's a decision they're going to have to make as an organization, because there's some talent coming out of the draft this year. I mean, there's some quarterbacks that are going to be taken up top, and there'll be some that'll be falling toward the end of the first round. And Jacksonville may sense that now's the time to make a move on one of those guys. And if so, you know, how do you represent that? Because as you know from following Nashville, sometimes when you make a change with the keys to the car, you gotta be able to tell everybody, hey, we're doing this for the right reasons. And I think that's one of the things Jacksonville has to figure out is kind of how does that go down, because they've got guys who can make plays. I mean, Fournette's a banger. Defensively, I'm really impressed with them. I think they're well-built defensively, back and forth, you know, from the line to the linebacker, certainly in the secondary. And I'd be optimistic about where Jacksonville's going in the next couple of years, at least right now, from an experience standpoint, and also probably where they are from a cap standpoint.
So on Monday, Mike Mularkey parts ways with the Tennessee Titans, so the search is on.
Right.
And so far, three coaches have interviewed for the opening, including Mike Vrabel, the defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, but two other coordinators inside the NFC South. From a defensive standpoint, it's the defensive coordinator for Carolina, Steve Wilks, who five times, we're talking about a top 10 defense for Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then on the offensive side, somebody you're familiar with, Matt LaFleur, of course, the offensive coordinator for the Rams, spent 2 years as a quarterback's coach for Atlanta, also spent time there grooming RG3 in his days at Washington. First of all, let's start with Matt LaFleur, who interviewed today. Your thoughts about Matt LaFleur?
Well, first of all, he's a great guy, and he's well-schooled. I mean, he's been a lot of places for 38 years of age. And I think he's a talented guy who, if not now, will be a head coach in the league at some point. Really respect the job he did as kind of the, you know, second lieutenant to Kyle Shanahan, but also was strong enough as his own guy not to follow Shanahan to San Francisco and go to L.A. with Sean McVay.
Right.
And so, I Matt's got a lot of upside. Whether the fit is there in Nashville or not, that's for those folks to determine. But I would tell you he's going to be somebody's head coach. And I'd be excited about that prospect. I feel a lot like him, Johnny, to be honest with you, that I felt like with Bill O'Brien years ago. I knew him as a GA at Georgia Tech and then, you know, followed his career to the Patriots in the NFL and, you know, some of his other college stops and then obviously at Penn State and then on in the Texans situation. And so I'm excited for Bill O'Brien and I'm excited for Matt LaFleur. And I think those are guys who ultimately are going to be head coaches. Billy is, obviously, and done a decent job at Houston despite the injuries. And I think Matt LaFleur will do a great job. And, yeah, it'd be great if it were the Titans because I think there's a lot there for him to work with that would probably be exciting to Titans fans.
Well, a couple of things stand out, and it's tough when you start – if you got that that pizza and you start trying to divide it as far as who contributed the most to somebody's success. But, you know, first of all, I look at the fact that, you know, like last year working with Matt Ryan
sure.
was an MVP. And then working with Jared Goff, knowing how bad Jared Goff was as a rookie to what he was able to pull off in his second year, there has to be some correlation there.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to remember for Titans fans that, you know, Matt LaFleur was kind of an understudy with Kyle Shanahan a couple of different places, obviously in Washington and then here in Atlanta for a couple of years before going out west with Sean. And even Sean called plays in L.A., okay? So has Matt been given the full dynamic of the OC position yet in his career? No, but he's still got a wealth of experience that may be more so than other guys. The same would fall, in my mind, to the case of Steve Wilks. Because Sean McDermott was the defensive coordinator in Charlotte with the Panthers, okay, up until this year. And then Steve was promoted from within. So when you look at those two guys, they've got a tremendous amount of experience, but how long have they been, quote-unquote, controlling their units, right?
Right.
And I think that's something you got to take into account. But also remember this, too, and again, I don't know the dynamics in Nashville as well as I might in Atlanta or somebody in our division, perhaps, but oftentimes, some of these jobs are determined by the powers that be from within the structure the coach is going to create when he comes in. In other words, most of these guys that are interviewing for jobs already have an idea who their OC, DC, special teams, and maybe three-quarters of their staff is going to be. And I think that's sometimes, and I know that in cases historically, that's been a very determining factor in who ultimately gets the job. The other part about it is you have to be thinking about your football administration in places. In Atlanta, it was important when Dan Quinn got the job. Dan Quinn wanted the final approval on the 53, okay? So Thomas Dimitroff, who had been the general manager, surrendered the power of approval on the 53 to Dan Quinn. And it's important to know as you go through whether it's the Titans or Arizona, and I think Arizona is a very interesting situation because of the way Steve Kimes built that football team, to be honest with you, Johnny. And however it sets up in Nashville, you got to remember that all these coaches, the three you just talked about, they're going to have probably different personalities, different priorities, different structures. And ultimately, sometimes it comes down to maybe not who's going to be the best head coach, what's the best structure that is going to work with the way the Titans are currently built and where they want to go.
And that's the way I go back over the last two coaches, for example, with the Titans, Kim Wisenhunt, and not so much as far as working relationship with Mike Mularkey. I never had issues with Mike Mularkey. But at the same time, I can understand why there should be a parting of the ways, because, you know, the logical thinking was just get fire Terry Bisky and move forward, make some changes on the offensive staff. That's tough to do when the head coach, that's his offense. It's not Terry Bisky's offense. It was the head coach's offense. So you're basically saying your offense isn't good enough. Your player development is not good enough.
Right. That's a difficult situation, because there is a degree of loyalty in this that does count, and that's sometimes forgotten by folks in the media or people who are fans of the team or whatever the case may be. And for me, I look at just the way, teams are built from a structure standpoint. Like I was telling you earlier, I think they're fits and they're non-fits. Sometimes I laugh at candidates that get – it's kind of like, I don't want to harp on the situation y'all have dealt with there all fall long, but it's like John Gruden to Tennessee, okay? I mean, there's certain things that may happen in life. That one wasn't going to happen.
Amen on that one.
Yeah, John Gruden to the Oakland Raiders makes a lot more sense than John Gruden to Tennessee, because John Gruden knows Reggie McKenzie. Well, how does that work with Mark Davis? Well, it really doesn't work, because Mark Davis is going to turn and make it work with Reggie McKenzie. And that's a structure situation. Now, how it goes on in the environment of the building, no fan cares about. But that's also very important to some of these people that are making hires. I can tell you that Michael Bidwell in Arizona is concerned about how Steve Keim and whoever the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals are going to work, because Bruce Arians and Steve Keim had an unbelievable relationship. And Arizona, up until here, a couple of years ago, pretty good football team. And I think they'd been hit by injuries and some bad luck, but the reality of it was B.A. wasn't going to coach anymore, principally because of his health. But long term, I just don't think he wanted to be in the game that much anymore. And so I think that's one of the things Nashville has to answer. And obviously there's been a bit of a tweak in your ownership packaging and things like that, and certainly some of that may come into play. But the three guys you're talking to are guys who are capable of doing the job. And I think, it's a challenging division now, too. You've got, certainly Billy is in Houston. We've already talked about what's going on in Jacksonville, and there's going to be a change in Indianapolis.
Right.
Ultimately, what do they go with, and how does that affect maybe the way the earth tilts a little bit on its axis with the AFC South and Nashville?
And, of course, you have your hands full there in the NFC South. So there's
the
AFC and NFC South.
There's plenty to say grace over in this division, John.
Exactly. And I don't see that changing in 2018 either. Wes, appreciate you taking time out. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and certainly look forward to talking to you down the road.
Okay, Johnny. Take care.
Thank you again. Of course, you can keep up with Wes on Twitter, at Wes Durham, voice of the Atlanta Falcons, along with the ACC Network and more. Coming up on the other side of the break, chance to talk more in depth with regards to the Tennessee Titans, also Nashville Predators as well. Kayla Anderson, sports reporter with WKRN here in Nashville, News 2. She'll be joining us. You're listening to Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.